Lesson plan. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5 before we pray. Acts chapter 5, fifth book of the New Testament. Acts 5. Acts chapter 5. Okay, I'm going to ask all y'all to bow your heads, close your eyes, and I want to ask you to pray out loud with me. And when you pray it as a whisper. So repeat after me in a whisper, okay? Eyes closed, heads bowed. Dear Holy Spirit, I know you are here, and I know you know who I am. Thank you for being here. Thank you for loving me. I want to get to know you better. I want to learn to trust you, hear your voice, be led by you. So I pray you open the eyes of my heart that I may see you and your work in my life. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever there is a construction project, whether it be a building like this or this whole Naval Training Center, which is 365 acres, this was a Naval Training Center, now it's Liberty Station, but they donated it to the city when the base closed, and the city awarded the contract to McMillan, so they developed the whole land. So whenever you have a project like that, there's three different levels of people, if you will. One is the person with the vision. Someone has to have a big picture plan on how it's going to be developed. If you're remodeling your house, that is your wife. She will take care of all that for you. Just step back and let her do what she's going to do so she can be happy. And then you have the person who executes the contract who's going to pay for it. And that's a whole other story. Someone who signs the contract and does all the legal work. And then you have the third person, which is the project manager who is going to get the job done. Okay, so you have the big idea, vision stage. Then you have the contract. And then you have the person or the people who are going to get it done, the project managers are going to oversee the work. And his job or her job is to deliver a finished product. I want to propose to you that the Trinity serves that purpose in the plan of salvation. That God the Father has the plan of salvation. Jesus Christ came down and executed the contract when he died on the cross. And he paid not with money, but with his blood. And then Jesus died, rose from the dead, and he ascended and went to heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit to execute the plan. And the Holy Spirit's job is to deliver the church to Christ at the end. His job is to purify your mind, to come upon you, fill you, guide you, speak to you, anoint you, separate you for ministry, and many things we're going to look at over the next 7 weeks. And what we're going to look at over the next 7 weeks, we're going to get to know the Holy Spirit and his role and his relationship with you. And so you can understand what kind of relationship you need to have with him, how you need to trust him. Matter of fact, right now when we just prayed, you probably, I don't know how many of you ever prayed to the Holy Spirit. We're going to find out why you should do that and how you should talk to him and how you should listen to him and what his role is in your life. Now, if you look in your notes, first thing it says at the top is that there is a Trinity. One of the first things we have to acknowledge is that there is a Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sometimes you'll hear that the Holy Spirit's a force or a light or the breath of God. No. The Holy Spirit is one of the three heads of the Godhead, one of the three persons of the Godhead, and you're going to see today that he is all God. And the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Someone may argue, well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Well, neither is the word communion, neither is the Good Friday, Easter, Christmas, altar call, Palm Sunday, passes in the Bible one time, one again is in the Bible three times, and Christians only in the Bible twice. So don't get hung up on, is the word in the Bible? Get hung up on, is there a Father? Yes. Is there a Son? And is there the Holy Spirit? Matthew 28:19 says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so there is a Trinity. Number one in your notes, it'll tell you one, that the Father, as Almighty, he establishes the plan of salvation. The Father establishes the plan of salvation. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he sent his Son to die for our sins. Matter of fact, when Jesus died and he rose, it's going to be the Father who's going to elevate him and put his name above all names. It's the Father establishes the plan of salvation, big picture. Then it says, number two in your notes, that the Son, as mediator, executes the plan or the contract. The Son came down, Christ came down, and lived 33 years, and he died on the cross, and he purchased the right to give you salvation. He purchased the right to inherit the earth, and he will come back and rule the earth from Jerusalem. He purchased that right by dying on the cross and paying with his sinless blood. And by the way, this is the contract right here. These are the rules of the contract. This is your Bible. And he lived 33 years. He died. And when he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished. I paid for the contract." He died, ascended into heaven. And then thirdly, in your notes, it says, the Holy Spirit as helper implements the plan. The Holy Spirit will implement the plan. We're going to see in a minute that Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit to do several things. So the Father, he establishes the plan. Jesus executes the contract. And then the Holy Spirit is going to implement the plan. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is the Holy Spirit qualified, and how qualified is he? Now, when we bought this building, one of the things we did to get the architect is we sent out an RFP. Everyone say RFP. An RFP is a request for proposal. So what you do is we sent out letters and we said, we have this building, it's 444 feet long, 45 feet high, three stories, poured in place concrete building. It was an old military school built in 1960-something. We're going to cut it in half and build a 3,500-seat sanctuary. We're going to put a school, cafe, bookstore, offices, et cetera, et cetera. And we sent this letter out to all these architectural firms, and we said, we want you to come and give us a proposal for how you would do the job. And so they all came here on their own time, and they walked around the building before we did any construction, and they wrote notes on what they would do, and they got all their ideas together, and they brought them to us, and we got all these free ideas, and we picked one of them. And before you pick it, you want to also do a RFQ. Say RFQ. RFQ is a request for qualification. In other words, we have your proposal. Now tell us how you are qualified. Matter of fact, if you ever want to get a date, how many of y'all are single, by the way? How many of y'all are single? Raise your hand. Greg, if you ever want to get a date, you need to send out an RFP and RFQ. I'm 6'2", 195 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal and got all my teeth. And see who responds. And ladies, especially if a guy wants to take you out, you need to do an RFQ. Is he qualified to be a godly man in your life? If he says he loves you, you want to ask him, what's the definition of love? Because there's a Bible definition, and there's a non-biblical definition. You want to know. Okay, Bible definition is that he's going to help you obey God. The non-Bible definition is anything other than that. So we sent out an RFQ. We said, tell us how you all are qualified. Now, one of the things I had to do before we started talking to the architects is decide what I wanted the building to look like. I was clueless. I had no idea. So someone said, well, what building do you like in San Diego? I said, well, I don't look at buildings. I don't look at them that way. I said, the only thing I can think about is I like the Terminal 2 at the airport. Is that nice? I mean, it's not an office building, but, I like the glass, and I like the little swoops and stuff like that. And so do you notice that when you walk in the lobby, it's all glass right there? Okay. Why? Because the architectural firm that designed the airport are the people we used. And I said, the only thing I know is I like the glass, and I like those sections of glass. And our lobby, the glass in our lobby is just about the same size as those sections at the airport. It just kind of hurt what happened to work out that way. But we also wanted an architectural firm that built a church and a school in one building, and this architectural firm did that, Oaks Christian in L.A. But we want to know, have you ever done it? Because if you go to an architectural firm and say, they say, yeah, we're going to do your school and your church and your building, and we say, well, have you ever done a building this big? No, we usually do houses, but we want to try. No, you want a qualification. So the question to you today is, how qualified is the Holy Spirit to transform your life? And you need to know not only that he is qualified, but in what ways is he qualified? In other words, what kind of stuff can he do? What kind of junk in his trunk does he have to help you out? The architectural firm we used here was Gensler in L.A., and I would go to their office, and I would walk around their office, and I'm like a little kid. I ask a lot of, you know, little kid questions like, what's that, what's that? I want to touch it and press the button, all that kind of stuff. And so we'll walk around, and I said, well, you know, what can y'all do? What do y'all do? Tell me what you're doing. And he was telling me, showing me models that they make. Here, we can make a model of your building. You can open up and look at it. I said, I want one of those. And he told me how much it costs. I said, I don't want one of those. Then they said, we could do 3D renderings of the sanctuary and put you on the stage and show you where. I said, I want one of those. Definitely got to have that. And they would show me around, and I said, now I understand what an architect really does. I didn't know that they were on the job through the whole job, up until the day you move in. They're here working with the contractor, working with you. And so I had to learn all that. What you and I need to know is, what is the Holy Spirit's role? How qualified is he? What can he do? What is he assigned to do? What kind of authority does he have? What kind of wisdom and power does he have? What kind of relationship should we have with him? Because if we don't know those things, we won't use them. We won't benefit from them. And we'll have a very impotent Christian life, a weak Christian life. So let's look at it. Number one in your notes. Number four, rather. I should say four. All three, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are God. The Holy Spirit is God. I know you have in your mind a little dove flying down, resting on Jesus' head when he came out of the Jordan River when he was baptized. I don't want you to think of it as a bird. It's a him. It's a person. Next week, we're going to study that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a human, but a person. Your personhood is not your body. It's your soul. If you cut off someone's arms and legs, it doesn't make them any less of a person. It's on the inside. The Holy Spirit is a person, someone you can talk to. And next week, we're going to see he's going to talk to you. He loves you. He has a will. He has a mind. He can be grieved or disappointed by you, by us. It's a person. Say, but he is God. Everyone say God. Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, the Christian church has just started, and everybody was sharing with each other all the stuff they had. And this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, sold some land, and they had the money. And what they did is they brought the money to the apostles, and they kept some for themselves. There was nothing wrong with that, but they represented that they gave all the money. And we're going to see that they lied to the Holy Spirit, but in fact, they really lied to God, because the Holy Spirit and God were the same. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 1. It says, a certain man named Ananias and with Sapphira, his wife, had sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Everyone say lie. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses say the Holy Spirit is a force. You can't lie to a force. It's like lying to a building. You don't do that. You lie to people. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? In other words, you could do with it what you want. But you don't have to come tell us that you're giving all of it when you're not. And it says, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. You have to understand, the Holy Spirit is God. It is the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, if the Holy Spirit's God, it will have names of God that you give to God. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, Pneuma o Theos. Another name is the Spirit of Christ, Pneuma o Christos, or the Holy Spirit, Agios Pneuma. He has the names of God. He speaks the words of God. He does the works of God. He is worshipped as God. Matter of fact, you can blaspheme the Father. You can blaspheme the Son, but you can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is God. Why is that critical? Is that you don't want to pray and bypass the Holy Spirit and talk to Jesus without recognizing that God is right there with you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And if he's God, he has all the powers, all the wisdom, all the abilities and all the resources of God. You can't get anybody better than that helping you out. You can't have anybody better than that living inside your heart. It's not that the Holy Spirit is just here to give you some gifts. I was talking to some people this morning, and they come from a Pentecostal background, Assembly of God, and they believe that when you get the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues. And the Holy Spirit, if you do speak in tongues, he's the one who gave you that. But that's not all he's there for. He's not this little good luck charm that gives us these things. He is God, and he has a very specific role in your life. Number 5 in your notes. It says Jesus, promises to send the Holy Spirit, the invisible man, to you. He promised to send the Holy Spirit to you. You're right in Acts, the book right before it. Turn to John chapter 16. John 16. John 16. Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit to you. We're going to learn in this short passage a couple of additional names of the Holy Spirit and also different roles of the Holy Spirit. I have about 62 different attributes of the Holy Spirit we're going to learn through this series, and when we have our quiz at the end, we'll go over all of them, but you're going to see a few right here. John 16, verse 7, it says, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper," everyone say helper, this is the Holy Spirit, "the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he," everyone say he, it's not an it, it's not an it, it's not a light, it's not a force, it's not power. He has power and he's powerful, but he's not power. He's not the wind, but he's like the wind. He's not fire, but he's like fire. He's not a dove, but he floated down on Christ like a dove. He's a he. It says, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. Raise your hand if you've ever been convicted of something in your heart for doing something wrong. Very good, everybody. Guess who that was? Holy Spirit said, And how many of y'all, you don't have to raise your hand about this, but how many of y'all were convicted before you did it? You were like, and you were getting ready to do it, and someone's going, "Don't do that." And as you were doing it, "Why are you doing that?" That was God. The Holy Spirit's talking to you. Okay? It says, "He will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment," verse 9, "of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he," everyone says he, "the Spirit of truth," say Spirit of truth, "has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come, and he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." Remember Jesus executed the contract? When he came, Holy Spirit came down to fulfill the contract. Here's the word. Holy Spirit just came down to affirm this. He didn't have his own agenda. He came down to affirm this because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all working together. Father said, "Here's the plan." From Genesis 1 and 2, man was created without sin. In chapter 3 of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, man sinned. And the rest of the Bible is the plan of salvation. And long before Jesus was born, all this stuff was told to Moses in the law in the Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled all of that, died, and now the Holy Spirit's going to come and now take it home. He came to execute this contract. He's not speaking on his own authority. In other words, he's not coming to do his own thing. He's coming to work in partnership with the Father and the Son according to this book and God's plan in your life. He will guide you in all truth. Say truth. If you want to know truth, Holy Spirit, tell me truth. If you want to live truth, Holy Spirit, guide me in my truth. He lives inside of you. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me what this means important to my life. That's his job. That's his job. So Jesus died on the cross, and he said, "My job is done." That's why on the cross he says, "It is finished." He died, rose from the dead, and he left, and he says, "After I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, so expect him." And here's what he's going to do. He's going to tell you everything I said. He's going to interpret it for you, for your life. And he's going to guide you in all truth. He's going to glorify me. You can trust him. See you later. And he went to heaven. And then a few days later, tongues of fire came on, and they baptized the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came down, and all of a sudden now everything broke loose, and they had all these people saved. And here we are today, and the Holy Spirit's still working in our life. That he is the one we're supposed to walk with. Now, does it mean you don't pray to Jesus? Yeah, you can. But just understand it's the Holy Spirit through which you're having access to Christ. When you get on your knees and pray, the Holy Spirit prays on your behalf. Next week we're going to see that at some point in the series, where you get on your knees and you go, "Oh, dear God," and you start grumbling because you don't know what to say. The Bible says the Holy Spirit prays on your behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. So when you're going, God, bless me. The Holy Spirit is going, Father, here's what they're trying to say. I go through this every day. And you don't even know that. You don't even know that the Holy Spirit is praying on your behalf. Because of the next three things of the bomb. Look at the next one, number six. It says the invisible man, the Holy Spirit, the invisible man, is omniscient. Everyone say omniscient. Or omniscient. So we get the word science. If you take the T off and put a C-E, you get science. He's omniscient or he's all-knowing. He's all-knowing. Now, I want you to imagine the universe. I want you to imagine a big beach ball, okay? It's light years big. It's the universe. And in it is all the solar systems, universes, and planets, moons, stars, nebulas. It's light years big, and it's growing by the second. At the speed of light, it's expanding. Our universe is expanding. The Bible says that the Lord stretches out the heavens. So scientists are observing that the universes are just expanding at the speed of light. How big that is just ridiculous. But this makes sense. It's this big. And we're in there. We're a little speck in there. Okay? And on that little speck is the earth, and then that little speck is you. I mean, it's so tiny. It's like, can't even see it. Okay, that's us in this big universe. God created the universe, and he created all the scientific principles to govern the universe. So all this astrophysics and gravity and chemistry and biology and all that kind of stuff. And so he set it in motion, and it's going. Gravity exists. Biology, life, it doesn't evolve, but, you know, one life begets another life. He put created us that we can reproduce after our own kind. All living things can reproduce after our own kind, just like the Bible says. And he set it in motion. And so here's this universe is going, and it has rules and laws that govern the universe. For our part of the universe on Earth, we have gravity. Everything's subjected to gravity. We bleed. If we bleed enough, we'll die. There's math. There's physics. There's biology. And all those sciences that govern, you know, we breathe air and fish get oxygen from the water. All those things govern our world. Well, God lives and exists outside of the rules of that universe, of that beach ball. He is not subjected to that. In other words, if you were to go in space, you would die because of the gravity in space, and your body would explode. That's why you needed space to. Well, God can come on Earth. He can go in space. He can go anywhere he wants because he's not submitted or subjected to that. He's not limited by it. So when we think of something strong, God is stronger than strong because his concept of strength is outside of our realm of comprehension. When we think of something smart, he's smarter than smart. He's wiser than what wisdom is because he exists outside of it. He is the uncaused cause. He didn't need to be created. He's uncreated. He's the creator. And so because we live in this beach ball with all these rules, we only understand life according to these rules. We know everything has to die one day. Well, God doesn't have to die. We know everything has to fall to the ground where God can levitate up above the ground. He has different rules. That's why when Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, I can kill you, he says, yeah, my father gave you that authority. Because on your little world, Pilate, you have judicial power, you can kill me. But from where I'm from, which is way out here, I can rise from the dead. So go ahead and do your little thing. I come from a different place. And so what the Bible says, with the Holy Spirit's omniscient, he knows everything. Turn to 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You're in John, go three books towards the back. To 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just three books towards the back. Not far. It says in verse 9, it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Say, eye has not seen. Say, ear has not heard. Say, my mind cannot conceive. The things that God has for you, you've never seen. You've never heard. You can't imagine. Now, it applies not only in heaven. We ain't going to try to talk about what's in heaven. On earth. 20 years ago, if I was to tell you that little kindergarten kids would have cell phones, you would go, what's a cell phone? I remember cell phones, a lot of us do, when they were like cinder blocks. Had a big antenna. You had to carry two hands. Talk like this. Okay? We're not even talking about that. The stuff that God wants to do in your life is way above your head. But look what the Bible says, verse 10. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, just the deep things of God. In other words, here you are, standing in Point Loma, walking around going, I'm going to church today. I don't know what's going to happen. I think I'm going to go ahead of my Bible. And the Father says, clueless. And the Father looks at you and says, I know your fears. I know your talents. I know your whole life and how your heart has been shaped and your mind and your personality, all the ups and downs of your life. I know how you've been hurt. I know your strengths, your weaknesses, how much faith you have, how much faith you don't have. I know all of that, God does. And God knows, I know the potential of everything about you, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. I know the potential of all that. Your brain, you use maybe 5, 10%. I know the potential of 100% of your brain power. And I know how to get there. And this is God now. I also know the future opportunities that I'm going to provide for you to grow and to maximize the potential I've given you. I know all of that. And you don't. And we walk around every day guessing about all that. The Bible says that the Spirit knows. Just imagine I was the Holy Spirit. And just imagine I was with you every single day, 24 hours a day, 24 hours a day I was with you, and I knew all of that about you. Wouldn't you want to talk to me? Wouldn't you like be drilling my head about everything? Holy Spirit, should I date that girl? Holy, should I do that business thing? Should I buy that house? Should I sell that house? What should I do? You'd be asking me everything. You'd be driving me crazy. Can I get an amen? The good thing about it is that you can never drive him crazy. Do you know what talking to him is? Prayer. That's it. But we don't talk to him. We think he's just this thing that's going to give us power. Oh, give me power. No. I want to talk to you. I want to tell you what I know because I know stuff. I know everything. I'm omniscient. I'm all-knowing. When God has a board meeting about you, I'm in the meeting. Every time. I'm never not in the meeting. Look at the next one. Number 6, 7. As God, the invisible man, is omnipresent. Omnipresent. Your lesson plan should say everywhere at one time, not everyone at one time. Omnipresent means all, he's everywhere. How many of y'all are parents? Say amen. We have our kids thinking we are everywhere, and we want them to think we're everywhere because we have our informants. Only God is everywhere. Devil's not everywhere. Angels are not everywhere. God is everywhere. You can read that verse later on your own, Psalm 139, 7 to 10. No matter where you go, the Father is, the God is there. His Spirit is there, more specifically. When you go home, God will be with you. When I go home at about 9:30 tonight and go home and eat my ice cream tonight, God will be with me. And wherever you are doing, God's going to be with you at the same time, giving you undivided attention. And by the way, you're going to be where you're at. You know what God's, the Holy Spirit's going to be doing? Talk to me. Talk to me. And you're going to be ignoring him. And he's going to go, don't do that. Oh, man. I got to clean up that mess now. Don't do that. No, don't do that. Constantly, because he knows. And we're guessing. Guessing, make a mistake, repenting. Sorry, God. He's like, you know what? We could save a whole lot of drama if you just listen to me. Because I'm all knowing. And I'm where you're getting ready to go, I'm already there. At the same time, I'm with you. Look at number 8. As God, the invisible man is omnipotent, omnipotent, all powerful. Say all powerful. Whatever you can imagine as strong being, you can't imagine what strong is. Some of y'all might think if I can lift 500 pounds, that's strong. That's not strong. Imagine if I could lift this whole building. Can you imagine someone can lift this whole building? Would that be strong? That's just ridiculous. It's cartoon, right? It's like, you know, a movie, Hancock. Did y'all see Hancock? Yes. I was in Nordstrom's Rack. I don't remember. Maybe, I don't know, a couple months ago. And there was a kid in there. He's 20, young 20s, and he had a Superman cape on. A red cape with an S on it. And he's young 20s, and I talk to people anyway. Like, I talk to regular people, okay? So I'm following this dude around, and I don't like the shop. I can't remember what I was there for, but I was there. And guaranteed I wasn't in the best of mood because I was there. So I figured, here is some fun. Let's follow this guy. So I just started walking around following him. And I go, who are you? What's your name? He looked at me with a straight face and says, I'm Superman. Then he walked. So I'm like, man, that guy just fronted me off. So I went to follow him again and said, yo, man, for real. Who are you? He goes, I'm Superman. And he wouldn't come out of character. And I said, okay, where's Lois? So we talk kind of back and forth. He never admitted to being anybody other but Superman. So then he said to me, he asked me what my name was. I said, I'm Hancock. If you didn't get it, it's too hard to explain. But Hancock could just lift this whole building. Now, you would think that's strong. God flicked with his hands the stars in the sky. That is strong. But that's within the universe. He lives outside of it. What kind of strength is that? Genesis 1:2, the Holy Spirit was involved in creation of the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. It's the Holy Spirit. Job chapter 33, verse 4 says, the Spirit created us in the womb. He made you. We're not talking about some chump, some spiritual chump here. We're talking about God. He's all powerful, all knowing, all present. He's everywhere. What can't that guy do? And why wouldn't we want to have that guy as a friend? Why would we want to take advantage of all he has to give? Don't limit, oh, I'm just going to pray that God pay my rent. Ask him that, but pray, God, show me bigger than that. I don't even want to worry about it. I mean, I'm going to do what I got to do, work, pay my bills, but I'm not going to worry about it because we got bigger fish to fry. What is your plan in your kingdom for me in my life? That's what I want to know. When you and God talk about me, what do y'all say? Yeah, would you want to know that? Yeah, let's talk about Miles up here in heaven. What do y'all say? Do y'all laugh? You ever think of if you could make God laugh? I was trying to make God laugh. I was driving home the other day wondering I know he has a sense of humor because he gave it to us. But if he could laugh, probably not because he already knows what you're going to say before you say it. It's like knowing the punchline before you say it. So, but every now and then some funny stuff comes out like, man, God, you got to laugh about that. Imagine if you knew what God was saying about you in the boardroom in heaven. Holy Spirit will tell you. He won't tell you all of it, but he'll tell you some of it. Like when you get an idea and you hear this little voice say, you can do it. Go. That's God. Trust me. He's saying, trust me. Number 9, as God, the invisible man is eternal. Eternal. Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews, about the 10th book from the back, give or take. Hebrews 9:14. This one's kind of a no-brainer, but I want to put it in there anyway. Hebrews 9, verse 14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, verse 14, how much more through the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Read again. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I mean, if the Holy Spirit was there at creation, the Holy Spirit's God, of course he's eternal. But let's just make sure we say that. So here you have an eternal Spirit who has been in existence forever past and forever future, knows everything is all-powerful, all-present, was involved in creating the heavens and the earth, and he's living with you or wants to live in your heart, wants to forgive you of your sin, wants to renew your mind, wants to cleanse your soul, and we don't have a relationship with him? We just think he's a little dove or a little light? That's what the devil wants you to do, minimize him. I hope over the next 7 weeks that you would say, you know what, I want to have a relationship with him. I want to talk to him. I want to hear him talk to me. Next week, we're going to hear about that. And he's going to talk to you every day. Talks to you every day. I want him to explain to me this book because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible through the people who penned it. And not only did he write it, he's the one to interpret it. He's the one to make it come alive. If you ever hear someone tell a joke and people get the joke at different times. Okay, so you'll say something funny, or especially in a crowd like this, say something funny and you hear laughter at different parts of the room at different times. And then some people won't laugh at all because they never get it, or they get it when they're driving home. They're laying in bed and go, I got it, like days later. Because their brain was trying to figure out the punchline, and it was there, for whatever reason they didn't get it, for whatever reason, I'm not going to say why, and all of a sudden, whoop, their mind opens, truth. The Holy Spirit does that when you read the Bible. You read it, and go, bam, I got it. He'll show you a spiritual principle in the ink, from the words in the ink on the paper. So here's my challenge to you, is that you would say, Lord, I want to receive that Holy Spirit because I trust that Holy Spirit will take care of me. I trust that Holy Spirit will forgive me. I trust that Holy Spirit will renew my life. When I was in 1982, I was drafted to the Rams, and I got cut the last cut, which means you get fired, you have no money. I was 22 years old, didn't have a college degree. I was in Anaheim in a hotel, and I cried. Then they called me back the next day, and they said, we're going to pay you just to stay around because if someone may get hurt. It was kind of like under the table money. And I got paid. 2 weeks later, there was a strike, and I got paid a couple weeks into the strike. I think I was the only NFL player getting paid during the strike, and I wasn't even in NFL. Strike ended. I ended up coming playing for the Chargers. God took care of me. A couple years later, I got cut again. My wife was pregnant with our first child, 7 months pregnant. I got cut. I'm like, God, my wife is pregnant. He goes, don't you think I know that? I got cut for 5 weeks, came back. We had the baby. Everything was fine. Then next May, the May after that, my wife, we thought she was pregnant. She went to the doctor. She was at the doctor. I got cut. I came home from getting cut. I said, I know you're pregnant, right? She said, yeah, how'd you know? I said, I got cut. Jobless. The reason I tell you that story is that the whole time, now looking back on it, the whole time God was taking care of me. He's like, don't worry about it. I got this. I'm way bigger than your problems. I know where you live. I know your bills. I got it all taken care of. And two times I lost my job, my wife was pregnant. Why? Because that's just like God to compound the situation so it makes you trust him more. But it is not big to him. He created the heavens and the earth. So all he's saying is trust me. Trust me. So in a minute we're going to pray. You have two groups of y'all out here. One group of y'all, you're already saved. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge who he is. And over the next couple of months, let's really get to know him. Talk to him every day as you would a friend. But just recognize he's God. And if you're not a Christian, is that today you would say, I want the Holy Spirit living in me. I don't want to try to do it myself in my own power. I want God to live in me. Because that's what he's there for. God created you such that the Holy Spirit can live inside of you. So let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for being good to us and dying for us on the cross. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you love us. We acknowledge that you are here and that you are God. We acknowledge your role that while you came to fill us, to be upon us, to cleanse us, to bear fruit in our life, to anoint us, to empower us, to seal us, so many things. So much power you have and wisdom. We want to get to know you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you've been speaking to people tonight. Encourage them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you know about their life. You're willing to reside in their heart. You're willing to start a work in their life that you won't end until Christ comes back. Thank you. If today you realize that Jesus has never, you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin, if you realize that you never been born again, born of the Spirit, and you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin, you want to repent and inherit eternal life, pray with me in the privacy of your heart. But as you pray, you must have faith that God loves you, that he knows who you are, and that he wants to forgive you. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner, and I believe the penalty of sin is death. But I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead for my sin. Jesus, please forgive me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to be born again, born of the Spirit of God. Thank you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing, you are acknowledging that you are giving your life to Jesus. You are acknowledging that you are walking away from your old life. And you're going to trust God to guide and direct you. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet and acknowledge God's forgiveness in your life. And acknowledge, God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 God bless you.